Except Thou Bless Me, a Castiel/Dean fanfiction, written by Arcatutis and read by X-Man Hater. Summary: Castiel is wroth, and Dean is having a great time. This time, when Castiel appeared in the passenger seat, Dean just glanced at him sidelong and said, after a moment, "No." Castiel was as slouchily impassive as ever. "There's work for you, Dean." "Yeah, I guessed." Dean shifted gears, opened the Impala up a little more. He wasn't completely sure where he was, less than half a tank of gas away from the motel, wherever it was, so that was all right. This road had been straight and flat and pretty boring for the last 20 minutes, but just the feeling of it rolling away under his baby's wheels was doing him a lot of good. He was fine, damn it. Alistair or no Alistair, he was back in fighting trim now, and Sam's insistence that he lie around the room getting nothing done for another week was very thoughtful and all, but Dean was going to go insane. "Busy," he added, and put his right hand back on the steering wheel. "You have no particular destination," Castiel said. Dean could see him in his peripheral vision, looking out the window like they weren't talking. "You're not busy." "Busy. Dean." "Look, I said no," Dean snapped, and wished for a corner to take hard, or a reason to change gears again, something abrupt to do to underscore his irritation. "First thing I said to you when you showed up, no. Not interested, not playing, count me out." "I haven't told you what we ask of you yet." "Is it as stupid and pointless as the last thing you wanted? Because if it is, I'm even less interested than I was when I thought it was just going to be life-threatening and impossibly hard." Dean noticed his foot getting heavier on the gas pedal and let it happen. "It's good work, Dean." There was something in Castiel's voice that might have been remorse, like this was his idea of a peace offering. "You'd take it even if a seal weren't involved." "We can find our own fucking jobs. Get out of my car." Castiel let out a long breath through his nose and was silent for several seconds while the Impala devoured asphalt. "What is this about, Dean?" Dean gritted his teeth, clenched his hands on the wheel. "I just told you. I tell you again and again, and you... do you just ignore everything I say that you don't like? I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done being jerked around. I can't do what you want. Leave me alone." "I'm not going to ask you for anything you don't have to give," Castiel said gravely. Dean thumped the steering wheel with the heel of his palm. "How can you not get this?" He knew he was shouting. "I don't give a shit how easy the job is. It's not about the job. It's about your fucking war, and it's about you expecting me to be up and walking around like I'm still an entire human being. Now either follow through or fuck off." "Follow through?" Castiel asked, and his voice was neutral, but Dean could see from the corner of his eye that the angel was at least looking at him now. Dean went still. He had floored it without noticing, and they were tearing along at a speed that would have been exhilarating under other circumstances. This wasn't exactly where he'd intended this conversation to go, insofar as he'd had any sort of plan at all, but it was here now, so fuck it. He was ready. "Put me back," he said, and Castiel's startled inhalation just pissed him off again. "Good. Better to go in angry." "You said you could do it, so do it," Dean went on, voice rising. "I'm going back to hell anyway for not dancing to your asshole god's tune. I don't see the point in waiting." "Dean," Castiel said, in a voice that was for some reason shaking, and Dean's body helpfully gave him another shot of adrenaline. He found himself wishing Sam were here, and that was what it took for it to sink in how truly and irrevocably real this was. The Impala roared, and the heartbeat in his ears roared back. "Don't tell me you can't do it," Dean bit out, with no idea anymore how to stop, whether he wanted to stop, what he was doing. "Don't you fucking dare, limp dick. Don't you dare tell me you can throw me back into hell and then refuse to deliver when it matters. Either do it or get the fuck out of my car. I got no use for an angel who can't close the deal." He leaned across Castiel, pulled the latch on the door, shoved it open. It was an incredibly stupid thing to do at this speed, never mind that the door wasn't going to stay open anyway, and when the Impala veered toward the shoulder, he assumed it was because he had lost control of the wheel. He wasn't even watching the road. But then his girl shuddered, and her engine cut out, and Castiel's hand closed around his still extended wrist. Oh, Shit. The car decelerated much faster than it should have, even once they hit the flat, but not even ground, that extended from the edge of the blacktop to the feet of the mountains that reared on the horizon. This was scrubland, and he could hear things happening to the Impala's undercarriage that he was going to be pissed off about later, if he lived. Castiel kicked open his still-ajar door, asshole, and was out of the car before it had rolled all the way to a halt, dragging Dean with him. Dean fought him on reflex, grabbed for the door frame, hooked his foot through the steering wheel, anything that might keep him in the relative safety of the car, but Castiel was inconceivably strong, stronger than anything he'd tangled with, and didn't even seem to notice. He grabbed a handful of Dean's collar as soon as his shoulders were clear, and literally threw him to the ground. So hard he slid and rolled. The impact knocked all the air out of him, and he couldn't get it back. He had no goal anymore, no agenda. He was only aware of Castiel and the unutterable danger he represented, bearing down on him at a brisk walk, and that there was no way he was going to be able to pull himself together enough to get away. "This is how you accept my gift," Castiel said, and there was a hand hooking through Dean's elbow and a foot through his knee, and then he was airborne again. The landing rattled his teeth. Something tore open the leg of his jeans and the skin underneath, a rock or a thorn bush, or for all he knew, a frightened animal lashing out at him. He pushed himself up on his hands, shaking with the effort, and finally dragged in a breath, only to have it forced out of him again when Castiel kicked him in the chest. It flung him onto his back, and this time he didn't have it in him to try to recoup. When he'd thought about Castiel throwing him back into the abyss, he hadn't considered the possibility that it might entail Castiel simply beating him to death. "When I reached you in hell, it was by walking over the slain bodies of angels I'd been garrisoned with for 2 millennia. He hauled Dean up again by his lapel, not onto his feet, not onto his knees, just up until his head was chest-height to Castiel, with no regard for what was going on with Dean's lower body. "I remade you from the charred remnant of a man I found there. I made you beautiful and whole. I breathed for you until you could breathe for yourself." Castiel's voice was calm but rising, crescendoing, more like an instrument than something that was coming out of a human body. "And this is what you do with the life, the gift I have given you. You try to give it back." He slapped Dean so hard Dean's vision went weird. Dean thought he was catching on, though. Castiel gave him the other side of his hand as well, letting go of Dean's jacket as he did it, and Dean would have fallen if he hadn't had hold of the sleeve of Castiel's coat. Instead of sprawled in the dust, he wound up swaying on his knees. "Not for 2,000 years has an angel fought for anything!" Now Castiel was outright shouting, and Dean was dimly surprised the sound of it didn't tear rain right down out of the sky. "Not for 2,000 years has one of us died, and now dozens are dead for you! My brothers and sisters!" He'd seen Castiel angry, but never like this before. He'd seen Castiel ready to kill, and this wasn't that. This was Castiel frustrated, maybe disappointed, maybe hurt. And if Dean could have, he would have crawled away in shame. Castiel's belief in him was humbling, terrifying, crushing. They hadn't spoken since Castiel had told Dean about the first seal. Dean hadn't been up for so much as looking him in the eye. But every moment Sam hadn't been in the hospital room with him, Castiel had been there, sitting silent, at one point reading a book Sam had left behind. He wasn't going to kill Dean, not today, not like this. He was just going to beat the shit out of him. Good. Castiel struck him a third time, and Dean lost his grip on the angel's sleeve and crumpled to the ground. There was blood in his mouth, but his head was still on his shoulders. All that horrifying strength, all that incandescent rage, yet Castiel was still controlling himself. Castiel was fucking amazing, and Dean laughed with sudden relief, which was probably what provoked Castiel to kick him again. Dean rolled, fetched up against a rise in the ground, took a moment to work out that the stars in his vision were the actual stars. Castiel's head briefly occulted most of Horion, and then Dean was being dragged upright again by the angel's implacable hands, until their faces were conversationally close. "I will listen," he said, quiet again now in a way that made Dean's skin tighten and his hair rise, "to your grief, your despair. I know your frustration. I have accepted your abuse and your insolence." Dean gripped him by one forearm and one wrist, pointlessly, though Dean wondered what he thought of Dean's forefinger and thumb just touching the back of his hand above his coat sleeve. "But I draw the line at ingratitude. Not after everything we all gave up to bring you here and make you ready." Castiel's fist was like a wrecking ball in his gut. Dean folded up around it, and, when Castiel let go of him, collapsed into the dirt again. Dean tried. He tried so hard to think of his stint in hell as a 4-month interlude in his normal mortal life. But at the end of the day, he knew 40 years when he saw it. 40 years as an adult, without 15 wasted growing into himself. He'd been Dean Winchester in hell almost 3 times as long as he'd been Dean Winchester on Earth, and among other things, it had completely fucked up his understanding of how to manage and maintain a human body. 40 years of waking up every morning, what passed for morning, with a pristine body for Alistair to meticulously disassemble. After 20, he had stopped even flinching. After 30, when he broke, he had begun to throw himself into it as fiercely as he threw himself into the torture he meted out to others. This earthly body, though, it floored him sometimes how it responded to pain, shocked him with its refusal to be instantly new and ready again after a rough hunt. Dean was just getting started, and it was already telling him to slow down, that's enough, complaining of bruised ribs and the cut on his thigh, and that if he took one more blow to the head, he was going to start losing IQ points. He wanted so much more. He wanted Castiel to break him open, to tear him apart. It was well within his abilities. The knowledge of the power coiled in the slim body the angel had chosen made Dean thrum with the anticipation of something he knew would never happen, because he was certain now that Castiel would never go that far. But God, just a little more. Castiel seemed to be winding down, too, now that he'd talked himself out. He paced around Dean in a circle, and Dean began to worry. They hadn't talked about this. He was aware that when you did this kind of thing on Earth, you were supposed to talk it out first, and buy the leather clothes and visit a club and or the Jerry Springer show. Castiel was unreadable as always, and the last thing Dean could deal right now would be him apologizing. He rolled onto his hands and knees, over the protests of every part of his body, and lunged at Castiel's legs as they passed, half out of desperation, half as an experiment. Pain made him pathetically slow, and Castiel barely reacted, just planted his foot on Dean's shoulder and bore him back down to the ground on his back. Oh, God. The gesture was almost gentle, but the pressure of Castiel's heel on Dean's collarbone. He gulped air, staring wide-eyed up at Castiel, and reached up to touch the angel's calf, to curl his fingers around the cheap wool of his slacks. There was a sound in Dean somewhere that he was afraid to give voice to, something desperate and needing. Dean couldn't see Castiel's face in the dark, not from this angle, but could sense his contemplation. "What is this, Dean?" he asked eventually, and Dean couldn't deal with the uncertainty in his voice, couldn't deal with his hesitation, not when Dean was so open and so ready to be carved. He needed Castiel to be righteous, to be fierce, to be without doubt, to burn like a fucking star, to hit him again. He needed fury. Because fuck, Alistair was dead, and his total purity of intent was gone with him forever, and Sam was furtively proud of himself, however he'd gotten the power to do it, because he didn't understand that Dean had no idea how to function anymore without somewhere for the compass to point. It hadn't mattered that at first Dean hadn't even known where Alistair was, and once he did, it hadn't mattered that they weren't together, that Alistair wasn't at work on him. Just the fact of him, in hell, on Earth, out there somewhere, had been enough. Now Dean was lost, spinning without purpose, directionless, and Castiel was taking his foot off of Dean's shoulder. Damn it, no! He shoved himself up onto his knees with an incredible effort. He needed Castiel's anger back, but he couldn't think of anything to say, anything outrageous enough to top. And at the time, he had thought his request was perfectly genuine, but in retrospect, he wondered if he hadn't been angling for this all along. What had provoked Castiel in the first place? He could think of one thing to do, though. One thing that was totally beyond the pale. Something in him screamed, "No, not this. This secret thing is not a weapon. Don't throw it away. Not this." But Dean was already reaching for Castiel's knees, already curving his hands around the backs of them, and leaning in and up, and nuzzling his face into Castiel's crotch. And feeling Castiel's completely unexpected erection pressed against his mouth and cheek. There was a frozen moment while Dean reeled from astonishment and sudden screaming arousal, and then Castiel gasped and was gone. Without Castiel supporting him, Dean pitched forward onto his elbows and just stayed there, throbbing all over with frustration and humiliation and pain. God, he'd been so fucking close. He'd almost had everything he needed, and then... fuck. He wasn't even sure he could get back to the Impala on his own, or for that matter whether it would start, whether Castiel had done something awful to it. He was just starting to think in earnest about standing up. There was a pressure behind his eyes and in his throat, and he didn't want to find out what that was going to turn into if he didn't get moving soon, when he felt a hand on his shoulder. And before he could so much as feel an emotion about that, he was on his back on the hood of the Impala, which was impossible. Dean wasn't sure how far Castiel had tossed him exactly, but they hadn't been anywhere near the car. But Castiel was on top of him, straddling him, and Dean didn't give a shit about anything else. "What is this?" he asked again, holding Dean down with one hand and running the other across Dean's hairline and down the side of his face, half rough, half tender. "Is this a mercy, Dean? Is it... I don't..." Dean was such an asshole, pulling an angel into his sick shit, and what the hell was wrong with him? An angel who had doubts enough already, who sounded shaky and unsure of himself, and Dean hated that he had done this to Castiel, and could not say no, could not say it wasn't a mercy, couldn't turn him away. "Yes," he gasped, clutching at the hand that was on his chest, holding Dean down. "Yes, please, please, Cass, please, I need it. Please, you don't have to do anything else. I just don't leave." Dean was babbling like an idiot, and if he didn't stop, he was going to start saying things he couldn't unsay. He swallowed the next sentence and tried sitting up a little, and Castiel let him. He tried touching Castiel's neck and shoulder and chest with his free hand, urgent and uncertain and needing more contact, and Castiel let him. He tried grabbing a handful of Castiel's coat to pull him closer, or to pull himself closer to Castiel, anything to have Castiel on top of him, touching him, awakening and reawakening Dean's bruises and scrapes with his hands and his body. And Castiel shoved him back down on the hood and slapped him hard across the face. Jesus, that might be Dean's new favorite thing. Dean lay limp, half stunned, half relieved, while Castiel yanked Dean's jacket down off his shoulders, worked it out from underneath him, and tossed it off the car. He was full of purpose now, his expression set and intent, and Dean wanted him so fucking badly he could hardly breathe. Castiel began to lift Dean's t-shirt, then visibly reconsidered and simply tore it off, flung it away like it annoyed him. The bruises on Dean's torso were already showing, if faintly with only moonlight to bring them out. Castiel traced them with his fingers, and Dean arched helplessly into the contact, groaning, bottom lip caught between his teeth, touching Castiel's forearms and the backs of his hands hesitantly, but as encouragingly as he could manage. He wanted Castiel to touch the handprint on his shoulder, the first mark he had put on Dean's body, a promise Dean was just beginning to understand. He wanted Castiel to kiss him. He had no idea how to ask for either of these things. This still felt fragile, uncertain, like he shouldn't push it. Castiel could vanish again at any moment, and Dean had no idea what he would do if that happened. Dean's pants stymied Castiel's exploration of his body, and Castiel ripped them apart to get at the skin underneath. So, okay, his intentions toward Dean were pretty clear. When he had finished tearing the last scraps of denim off Dean's calves, he lifted one of Dean's legs onto his shoulder and leant over him, folding him up in a way that made the abused muscles of his abdomen protest reassuringly. Castiel didn't look like he might vanish at any moment. What he looked was absolutely, inhumanly focused, completely intimidating, unkempt, sexy as hell. Dean was almost embarrassingly hard, like Castiel had been touching him and saying filthy things rather than merely taking his clothes off, with a certain amount of panache, granted. And when Castiel skimmed his hand down Dean's side and along his bare thigh, it made Dean's hips twitch upward like an offering. His own passivity, and the fact that Castiel was still fully clothed, were driving Dean nuts, and he was afraid he might be about to cross some line, that this might be too familiar. But damn it, Castiel was clearly gearing up to fuck him. Dean got to take a few liberties. He reached up and shoved at the lapels of the angel's infuriating trench coat, and Castiel got it instantly. He straightened a little and reached back with both hands to yank it off by the cuffs, which was weird, but got Dean one step closer to Castiel naked, so was fine by him. Castiel gave his suit coat the same treatment, and when he leaned in again, hand next to his face on Dean's shin, Dean reached up and splayed a hand on Castiel's chest. Castiel didn't stop him, just watched him intensely. Dean wasn't even sure why he had expected to be stopped, until he realized that for all the various, usually not very personal ways Castiel had touched him, before this evening, Dean had never once reached out and put his hands on the angel. And there was something forbidding about Castiel's simultaneous ferocity and composure, though as Dean stripped away Castiel's tie and began unbuttoning his shirt. God damn it, of course he was wearing an undershirt. How much clothing could one person have on at one time? He thought he saw something else under it, a warmth that was not only lust. Though lust was a factor, Castiel was still very obviously hard. Dean couldn't see it in the dark, but when he pulled Castiel's shirt tails out of his pants and unbuckled his belt, he could feel it. Dean pressed his fingers against Castiel's hidden erection as he unzipped him, and watched with a frankly undignified thrill of accomplishment as Castiel's lips parted and his eyelids dropped to half-mast. The angle was too awkward for him to really get his hands into Castiel's pants, Dean thought, and anyway, Castiel stopped him gently with his free hand before Dean could give it a shot. His head was canted to one side, and he looked at Dean with a question in his face that Dean could not decipher. So Dean gave him the first answer that came to mind. "Yes," he panted again. "Yes. Anything you want, Cass, please, I'm..." Castiel stopped him by pressing a hand against his chest, which was probably a good thing, except then he was gone again, and Dean's leg, unsupported, banged down on the roof of the Impala. And Dean gave the fuck up and screamed. There may have been words in it, profanity, Castiel's name, he didn't know. The hammering in Dean's brain was so loud he couldn't hear his own voice, like he had stuck his head into a church bell made of shame and unfulfilled need. He had been so sure, so fucking sure, but he must have read Castiel wrong. Maybe it wasn't possible to get an accurate read on something like an angel, and now he was fucking naked in the middle of nowhere, with a car that might or might not work and an empty, gnawing place in him that no one could fill like he knew Castiel could. And ultimately, hell would have been preferable. When Castiel reappeared, Dean very nearly wept. He had no recollection of rolling onto his stomach, and Castiel hadn't been expecting it either. There was a confused moment while Castiel sorted their limbs out, and Dean just reeled, and then he hiked Dean's hips up, and his thigh went from being jammed uncomfortably between Dean's legs to being pressed kind of pleasantly against Dean's balls. And Dean felt slick fingers first on the crack of his ass and then in him, two of them without any preamble. Castiel had gone for lube. Oh God, Dean wanted to keep him forever. Dean's whole body jerked, fingers, toes, hips, spine. Yep, that was his prostate. Castiel added a third finger long before Dean had adjusted to the first two, and Dean cried out against the windshield. This was a good idea, but he didn't particularly want it. He just wanted Castiel's cock, wanted the blazing pleasure of Castiel in him, accompanied by the agony of no preparation at all. But Castiel refused to let him overshoot himself, and Dean knew that was for the best, cherished him for it at the same time he was pretty sure he was going to lose his mind if Castiel didn't hurry up and fuck him. Castiel put his free hand between Dean's shoulder blades and held him still. Dean had no idea if this was a whim, or if he had guessed how Dean would squirm when he pulled his fingers out. They had at least been better than nothing. Castiel lifted Dean's leg, the one not currently trapped between Castiel's own, and passed it over his head, then settled it onto his shoulder again. Dean's body was at all sorts of weird angles now, hips sideways, shoulders front down, legs spread wide, and Dean was not flexible enough for this. If not for Castiel holding him in place, Castiel and his impossible strength, there was no way he could have held this position, and his joints and spine complained about it anyway. Visibility was so good on this flat terrain that Dean would have known if there had been anyone at all for miles around. But he still felt incredibly exposed, splayed, half-loosened, naked except for, ridiculously, his boots and socks. And then Castiel was nudging him with his cock, hot and slippery, and so very much what Dean needed, and Dean ceased to care whether anything about this position he was in was manly or dignified. Alistair had liked to threaten him with this. Well, not this. Dean wanting it had been pretty crucially against the point. The idea had never been for Alistair to do it himself, because despite his coquettishness and his long barbed tongue, Alistair had always been weirdly asexual. Of all the many forms he took in hell, not one of them had anything like genitalia. Instead, he had threatened Dean with other demons, with whole groups of them sometimes, with packs of hellhounds with other souls, still human but in one stage or another of corruption. It had never happened, and after a while Dean had realized it never would. That was not the image in which Alistair had wanted to remake Dean. His horror and fear were tools in Alistair's extensive kit, and that was all. When he caught on, the threat stopped being effective, and then they just stopped. And now, as Castiel slid into him with a long, shaky exhalation, Dean found himself bizarrely and inappropriately grateful to Alistair that there had been lines he hadn't been interested in crossing. Before his death, Dean had put a lot of work into closing off in himself the possibility of men, of being laid open and vulnerable, of letting someone else have charge of him. Alistair could have cauterized it altogether, and then there would never have been this. Dean made a noise against the windshield that sounded broken even to him, that sounded given over. And that was about right. Dean had imagined that the best part would be the way the pleasure spiked out of the background muddle of pain every time Castiel thrust into him, and he wasn't wrong about how good that was, like lightning through the clouds. He had no idea how to move in this position, but he wanted more, harder, now, and eventually he chained enough neurons together to work out that he could put his hands on the windscreen and shove himself back toward Castiel, offer himself up. But the best part was, it turned out, Castiel. That it was Castiel doing this to him, Castiel's hands on him, Castiel gradually losing his composure as he fucked Dean. The first time Castiel moaned, it went right to Dean's cock like a touch, like a squeeze. Eventually he took his hand off Dean's back and placed it on the back of Dean's head, holding him down and in place, firmly, but with a gentleness that startled and alarmed and excited Dean. And at one point, Dean didn't know when, Dean was lost. He traced the shell of Dean's ear with his thumb. It was such a little thing, it should have been lost in the ongoing collision of their bodies. But for a moment, Dean could think of nothing else, until Castiel brought him back around with a swat to his thigh that Dean hoped would leave him with another, if less permanent, handprint. Dean was not expecting Castiel to actually touch his cock. He hadn't given it any thought at all. And when he felt Castiel's still slick fingers, he spasmed as much with surprise as with the sensation. For a moment he was edgy. His capacity for pain was astronomical. But this was a special occasion thing, the one sort of pain that Dean had never quite learned to accept. But Castiel gripped him only as firmly, and stroked him only as roughly as he could handle, and Dean didn't realize how close he was to coming until it hit him. It crumpled him up so hard he slipped half out of Castiel's grip. Castiel made a ragged noise and lost the rhythm, and it was possible he was just surprised by the violence of Dean's orgasm. But the thought that he was enjoying making Dean come was so fucking hot, Dean decided to run with it. After that, he wasn't really aware of anything for a while, just rode out the aftershocks in a haze. Castiel was still going at him, bone-jarringly hard now, eliciting small noises of unexpected pleasure from Dean and the occasional groan from the Impala's suspension. He wasn't holding Dean's shoulders down at that punishing angle anymore, so Dean relaxed onto his side, but this only lasted for a few thrusts before Castiel was putting his hand on Dean's neck, snug under his jaw, and turning Dean's head toward him, locking their gazes. Even in the dark, Castiel's eyes were so fucking blue, and this reminded him of Alistair a little. Alistair had been a big man for the one-handed choke, but Alistair had never looked at Dean like this. Foreign and uncanny, but wild. It was like being ridden by a storm. Dean was surprised when it ended, was surprised something so primal could end, but Castiel did eventually come. He squeezed Dean's throat hard enough to cut off his air for a moment, involuntarily, Dean thought, but was too into it to be bothered, and drove into him with tooth-rattling force, once, twice. Then he was still, head thrown back, every part of his body taut as a bowstring, and Dean marveled again that a thing so powerful could happen right in his presence, without the rest of the world responding accordingly, with a downpour, with an earthquake, with something. There wasn't so much as a thunderclap, just Castiel pushing Dean's leg down off his shoulder. His cock slipped out of Dean, which Dean wasn't totally happy about, and slumping on top of him, pressing his face into Dean's shoulder. He was breathing fast and uneven, but he wasn't sweaty, didn't even smell of sweat. Castiel was warm, though, and now that he had a chance to wind down, Dean was grateful for it, because he was sweaty, and the cool of the night air was starting to make him shiver. Dean eased his arms around Castiel between his shirt and undershirt and tried not to cling. He wanted badly for Castiel to stay like this with him, just for a while. But Castiel had left and come back not once but twice now, and Dean was pretty sure that kind of luck didn't hold. So he enjoyed the heat and weight of Castiel while he could, and reveled in his own post-coital lassitude and the deep ache of his body. And once Castiel had his breath back and raised his head, Dean looked him in the eye and accepted that this encounter was over, and the next one was going to be really, really awkward. Castiel placed his hand flat on the hood of the Impala, and for a fraction of a second Dean's retinas were skewered by an unexpected light. Not from Castiel, but from a familiar neon sign. Then they were indoors and Dean was falling, because Castiel had popped into existence here on his feet, but Dean had shown up sprawled in midair as though he were still on the hood of his car. And Castiel caught him. Dean tried dazedly to get his bearings while Castiel set him on his feet. The horrible colors were familiar, but the layout and the arrangement of the furniture were wrong. This wasn't the motel room, not the one Dean was sharing with Sam, but it was in the same motel at least. And it was warm, or at least room temperature, but Dean couldn't seem to stop shaking, and now his teeth were shattering and, oh, he got it. This was some sort of chemical thing, endorphins or hormones or something. He was crashing. Castiel was a step ahead of him. Without a word, he unfurled the blanket from the foot of one of the beds and wrapped it around Dean. And then he was sitting down and pulling Dean with him, half next to Castiel, half cradled in his arms, and tucking Dean's head under his chin and what happened in Dean's head when he did all this was absolutely explosive, because it was so precisely what he needed, because he was sore and terrified of where things went from there, and God, so vulnerable. Because he had never felt like this, not at any time in his adult life. There was a difference between vulnerable and fucking stupid, though, and after a moment of stunned pliability, he shoved at Castiel's chest, not very effectively between the blanket and the shaking, and tried to sit up, to pull away. "Dean," Castiel said, clutching the hand Dean had worked free of the blanket in one of his own, holding him fast with the arm still around his shoulders. "Dean, be still. You need to recover, and there's no catch." Dean sagged. Oh, Christ, was this actually happening to him? He was not going to cry. Fuck. "There's no catch," Castiel said again and kissed him. It took Dean off guard. He hadn't thought about it since just before Castiel had shed his coat, but now he realized that for all that had gone down since Castiel appeared in his car, they hadn't actually kissed. It was weird. After all this, Dean was expecting deep. He was expecting tongue. He was expecting... well, not for Castiel to press his closed lips gently against Dean's for a moment, and then pull back and look at him thoughtfully in the eye. He had kind of thought there would be biting or something. Castiel relinquished Dean's hand in favor of cradling the back of his head, and kissed him again, longer this time but just as chastely. Dean had no idea what that was about, if it was some sort of weird tease, or if they just didn't teach kissing in heaven, or... come to think, he didn't even know if Castiel had had sex before. "How is this okay?" Dean asked hoarsely, pressing his hand against Castiel's chest under his open shirt. The way Castiel glanced away from him was about as much answer as he needed, and it was more of a relief than anything, frankly. "It's not," he said, and Dean nodded. "My mandate is to keep you in line, and I think that will earn me some lenience if this comes to light. But you may want to avoid mentioning it to anyone." Dean's own laughter surprised him, and it was genuine, but he saw quickly that he needed to clamp down on it before it became hysteria or worse. He took a deep breath and reached up, curved his hand around the back of Castiel's neck, pulled him down for another kiss. Castiel stooped obligingly, and when he began to back off, he let Dean pull him back in for yet another. This time Dean tried teasing Castiel's lips open, and either Castiel had been waiting for that invitation, or he was an inhumanly fast learner, because soon enough he had his tongue in Dean's mouth, and that went just fine. "Where's my brother?" Dean asked when Castiel broke away again, which was inappropriate, but Castiel just raised his head and looked at the wall opposite the one the bed was up against. "There. He's safe. He knows you're gone, but that you will be back." Dean swallowed hard, opened his mouth to reply and had to stop, had to squeeze his eyes shut for a while before he felt able to speak again. His hand was still on the side of Castiel's neck, and that helped, that grounded him. "He's always going to come first," he said. That was more forthright than he'd planned to be, but Castiel only nodded seriously. "I know this about you." That was an odd way to say it, but Dean was coming to accept that Castiel was an odd dude. He breathed for a moment, then went on. "But aside from Sam, what I said earlier..." Dean generally did not consider himself responsible for anything he said during sex, but this was fucking important, and even if he had been able to let it go, he didn't know what Castiel's policy about pillow talk was. If they had some kind of agreement now, better that they both know the terms. "When I said anything, I said you could have..." "Yes," Castiel said softly, touching Dean's face, and Dean gave up on constructing that sentence. "That wasn't just... I think I could really... and maybe on sentences in general." Castiel traced Dean's bottom lip with his fingertips and was obviously thinking, so Dean shut the hell up. "Dean," he said again, finally looking down and away. Dean fought back the urge to touch his eyelashes. "It's not me who asks these things of you. What you are, your role, tasks would fall to you whether I were here to bring them to your attention or not. I only want to help you." Dean took a deep breath and nodded jerkily. His shakes had subsided to the occasional slow tremor, but he wasn't a hell of a lot less overwhelmed. "I know," he said. "I get it. But I meant, like, if you wanted to tie me up or something..." Castiel stopped him with an unexpected snort of laughter and laid his hand gently on Dean's face. "Perhaps," he said, and picked Dean up bodily, like he was Castiel's bride, damn it, then turned and laid him on the bed. He knelt on the mattress next to Dean and pulled the blanket open. Dean was aware again of his own nakedness and Castiel's relative lack of shame. He had no idea where this was going, but he was exhausted, and at this point he was ready to just lie there and take it, whatever it was. It turned out to be an inventory of his injuries, which was kind of sexy, but not, clearly, driven by a sexual motivation. It was just Castiel looking after him. After a while, Dean had to cover his eyes with his hands because he could not fucking believe this was happening to him. But when Castiel finished, he took Dean's wrist and pushed them away, looked Dean in the eye. "Wait here," he said, pressing his hand against Dean's chest in a way Dean recognized from earlier, and this time waited for Dean's nod before he flew away. He was gone for a few minutes, and Dean spent the time finally pulling off his boots and socks. He was just about done looking like a cover of a gay porn mag, thanks, and trying not to flip out. Castiel was coming back. He was coming back. He'd told Dean to wait here. He wouldn't have said it if he weren't coming back. Dean just couldn't quite deal right now with not being able to see Castiel and touch him and be reassured by his strangeness and solidity that the bottom wasn't going to drop out of the last hour of Dean's life. This wasn't a dream. Dean was damn pretty sure of that, and he was almost convinced it wasn't some kind of elaborate angel head trip, but he just fucking needed Castiel, needed his proximity, and didn't care if that was crazy or effeminate or way too soon or whatever. Then Castiel was back, standing by the bed, and the panicky tightness in Dean's chest eased so quickly he had to catch his breath. He tossed some stuff down on the blanket next to Dean, which Dean couldn't see because he was busy looking at Castiel. None of the lights in the room were on, but the window faced the parking lot Castiel had left the Impala in, and the motel sign and floodlights outside picked out the planes of his face in a way that made Dean wonder how he had not noticed before this evening exactly how fucking gorgeous Castiel was. The things Castiel had gotten sounded like they might be condoms, little flat packets of something, and Dean was cool with that. He didn't think he'd be getting it up again in the immediate future, but he could go for being fucked again if it meant Castiel on top of him. They were antiseptic wipes, not condoms, as Dean discovered when Castiel tore one of the packets open, and that was so unanticipated it made Dean laugh again. He sobered rapidly, though, as Castiel began to go over the scrapes he had catalogued earlier with one. There were more than Dean had realized, including a split in his lip he'd been aware of but given no thought to. He was sure his face was bruised, anyway, and he suspected he wasn't going to be moving or walking altogether normally in the morning. He had no idea how he was going to explain any of this to his brother. Castiel did the shallow, ragged cut on Dean's thigh last, the one that had ruined his jeans even before Castiel gave them the Incredible Hulk treatment, then started over on the first scrape he'd cleaned, this time with antibiotic ointment. Dean was starting to feel weird about this. By the time Castiel had reached the last, worst cut again, he was downright tense, and when the angel, kneeling between Dean's legs, closed the cut with a couple of butterfly bandages and kissed Dean's bent knee, it was finally too much. This gentleness was... He wanted it so badly, wanted to feel safe and cared for like this, wanted to imagine that he had somehow earned Castiel. But it was freaking him out, and he couldn't stop the hot prickle of tears in his eyes, and Dean didn't realize Castiel had crawled up his body until Castiel sank his teeth into the side of Dean's neck. He clamped his hand over Dean's mouth as he did it, which was good, because otherwise there would have been no containing Dean's shout. And it wasn't like Sam had never overheard him having sex, but never when he hadn't even known Dean was there. And for God's sake, Sam didn't need to overhear this. Castiel held him there at the crest of the pain for what felt like a long time, while Dean writhed under him and clutched handfuls of the blanket and made desperate noises in his throat. He almost cried out again when Castiel let him go. And Dean was steady, breathing hard and maybe shaking, but his shit was together now. Castiel bumped their foreheads together, and Dean reached up to put his arms around him, but he was already easing away, moving back down Dean's body. He bit Dean's shoulder in passing, not as hard, but still pretty fucking hard. And this time Dean restrained his voice, but not the way his body jerked. It occurred to him to wonder if the first bite had broken the skin. His neck was wet, but that could have been saliva, and he reached up to touch it, but Castiel looked at him with a peculiar tenderness and swatted his hand away. Okay, then. Later. He stopped worrying about it altogether when Castiel ducked his head and closed his teeth on Dean's nipple, because that was distracting as hell, and because of the way Castiel bit down slowly, sounding out Dean's tolerance. If he was being that damn careful, then no, of course he hadn't taken a chunk out of Dean's neck. And there was no use living in the past when the present contained Castiel laving Dean's smarting nipple with his tongue, and then biting it again, and Jesus Christ pulling with his teeth while one of his hands played with the other nipple with an incongruous gentleness. Dean squirmed and whimpered. Okay, he whimpered. He'd been fucked for the first time in his life not half an hour ago, and they'd just had a conversation about how he wanted to be Castiel's bitch. Dean got to make whatever goddamn sound he wanted, and went boneless when Castiel released him, panting, sweating. Castiel was working his way downward now, and that made Dean nervous. He tongued Dean's navel, mouthed the rise of his hip, and then, yep, began to leave a languorous line of bites up the inside of Dean's thigh. As much as Dean loved that, and liked the idea of maybe jerking off later with his fingers digging into the bruises, he could see where this was going. When Castiel's mouth touched his balls, Dean dug his heels into the bed and shoved himself away until his head and shoulders were up against the headboard. Cass, I'm not good at... I can't... Not that there was anywhere much for Dean to go, but Castiel followed him up the bed and caught him by the wrists anyway. He twisted them on reflex, tried to pull away, but it was entirely futile, and this was scaring him to a degree that Castiel nearly throttling him earlier hadn't even approached. "Can't you?" Castiel asked, in a low rasp that made Dean shudder. And he had said anything. He just hadn't considered that anything might include things that were difficult or frightening. It occurred to him that Castiel was kinkier than he was, in at least one way. And that was so fucking bizarre it relaxed him a little. What if I said no? I'd let you go, Castiel said neutrally. Dean took a deep breath. Would that be it? Castiel looked at him without apparent comprehension, so he tried again. If I can't, are you done with me? That was more revealing than Dean had intended the question to be. He could tell from the way Castiel said, Dean, no, and kissed the inside of his knee. It would take much worse than that to shake my conviction in you. Damn it! Dean was trying to have a conversation about sex, and Castiel insisted on talking about what Dean had really been asking, about whether he was going to leave, about whether there was room for Dean to set a foot out of line without losing him. Dean had no idea how he'd gotten so fucking lucky. There's no catch, Castiel had told him. He forced himself to relax, allowed his head to loll against the headboard. Whatever you want, he said, suddenly hoarse. Castiel's mouth was on his cock immediately. At first he just lapped at Dean, at his balls, at the underside of his soft length. There were traces of cum on Dean still, and Castiel licked them away, which was, again, further than Dean was prepared to go himself. It had been there for a while, it was probably starting to dry. But Dean sort of liked that. It made him think he could bring up the nasty shit that crowded the back of his head sometimes, and Castiel would just do it to him, or not, without shaming him for it. On the other hand, while Dean was about a tenth of the way to an erection just from having Castiel's lips and teeth on his body, he was still way too fucking sensitized for this. He shoved his shoulders harder against the headboard and breathed in shallow gulps, told himself he would get through it. There was this demon, like, a day after you brought me back, he said, with no real idea where he was going to say until he was a few words in. Castiel took the head of Dean's cock delicately in his teeth and sucked it, and Dean groaned and pressed his ass against the bed and lost his train of thought for a while, but the words were still there, waiting, and he found himself talking again. We stopped at a diner, and the waitress and some guys there were possessed. The waitress was point man, and I slapped her. Just to make a point, she talked a big game, but she was scared. She wasn't going to mess with me. Scared of Castiel, he realized. Scared of the creature currently giving Dean the most disturbing blowjob he'd ever had. He hadn't thought about it in that context before. This new deal put a different spin on a lot of his previous encounters with Castiel. And I hit her again. And I was still making my point. It wasn't over the line. Because it's not like you can do anything to a demon other than kill or exorcise it, and Sam was right there. But I wanted to take her apart. I wanted to cross the line. All that stuff, it was still right under the surface. You don't just come back from hell and forget what it made you in a day. I thought I'd put it away, but this thing with Alistair, he broke me, Cass. He took away whatever is supposed to keep this shit in, and had kind of jury-rigged something, but it's back out of the box now, and I don't know if I... Fuck. Cass, what are you... God. Don't blaspheme, Castiel said calmly, and nipped him on the frenulum. Dean jerked against the gentle, vise-like hand still holding his wrists, and came this close to screaming. And the funny thing was, he was completely hard again, tingling and aching and leaking onto his stomach. Castiel lapped up his pre-cum, then released his hands, and, while Dean was automatically rubbing his wrists, though Castiel had not hurt them at all, took him by the hips and dragged him down the bed until he was flat on his back and directly under Castiel. I'm sorry I asked that of you, he said, and kissed Dean's temple. It was too much. I knew it was too much. And, oh God, he'd shoved a pillow under Dean's ass. But what you left behind in hell was the Dean Winchester, who had never tortured another frightened, flawed person. Not a part of yourself, but a way of looking at yourself, and that's all. When I gathered you in my arms, it was all of you that I gathered. You are whole. You have only to learn to live with all the parts of yourself, Dean. Which was absolutely the strangest thing Dean could imagine a person saying to him right before he fucked him, but Dean had started it, and he was kind of shaking already, so the way this made him shake was just more of the same. Whatever, Castiel was taking his cock out of his pants, time to prioritize. Dean didn't remember him putting it back in his pants, but this wasn't the most lucid he'd ever been. "At least take off your damn clothes, Cass," he muttered, pushing Castiel's still-open dress shirt back off his shoulders. Castiel cocked his head and glanced down at himself, then pressed Dean into the mattress for a moment and climbed off the bed. He was quick. Soon Dean was watching him stand almost naked at the bedside while he removed his socks, which not even Castiel could make entirely dignified. But still, God, yes. Dean had no idea how to evaluate men's bodies, what attracted him, what didn't, but this body was just right for Castiel, slight and angular and luminous in the neon that slanted in through the window. Then he was on top of Dean again, and Dean got to touch that body, to map it with his hands, to feel the ribcage flex with Castiel's breathing. Castiel kissed him, first with his lips closed, and then again with them parted, mouth open and wet and searching. Dean could taste himself there, on the back of Castiel's tongue, and it made him feel dizzy and wanted. Dean was still sloppy with Castiel's cum and whatever Castiel had used for lube, but he could have stood for more of the latter, and maybe a finger or two if he'd wanted this not to hurt. So, that worked out well. Castiel rocked into him slowly, thrust by thrust, while Dean panted and clutched at his shoulder blades. And he kept looking at Dean, which made him feel at least as exposed as he'd been on the hood of the Impala, out in the open with his legs wide, and not even Castiel's body on top of him to hide him. When he was all the way in, and had begun to fuck Dean in earnest, Dean ran his hand down Castiel's flexing back to his ass, and finally got it. He'd always assumed women put their hands on his ass in this position, because it was his ass, and was pretty much without flaw, and surely that was a factor. Castiel wasn't doing so badly himself. But now that he was the one on his back, he discovered how clearly he could feel like this, Castiel gathering himself to drive into Dean again, the powerful coil and uncoil of his body, and it was at least as erotic as the hot spark of Castiel's cock nudging his prostate. Dean dug his fingers in, and Castiel made an amazing noise, almost a growl, and shoved him harder against the mattress. His eyes were closed now, but he leant down and found, without error or hesitation, the place where he'd left that first spectacular bite on Dean's neck. And Dean bucked and whimpered again, helplessly, as Castiel traced the outline of it with his tongue. He was having a much easier time figuring out how to move in this position, how to meet Castiel's thrust, until Castiel straightened a bit and pushed Dean's knees up to his chest, and Dean had to figure it all out again from first principles. There was a bruise on the back of his knee that he hadn't noticed until Castiel put his hand on it, and the pressure of Castiel's thumb against one of the bites he had left on Dean's thigh was as sweet as he had imagined. But first in his attention was the way the changed angle had turned the sparks of pleasure Castiel was wringing from him into great crackling flares of it that shook him and curled his toes. And now that he thought about it, yeah, he was going to be able to come again. It was going to hurt, and the knowledge made him tense with anticipation. Castiel's ass wasn't accessible anymore, so Dean touched his chest, his shoulders, traced his ribs, stroked his nipples. The reaction to that was unexpectedly dramatic. Castiel threw his head back and let out a low croon, like no noise Dean had heard in bed before, and the movement of his hips grew rougher, less even. Dean reached up to touch the fascinating column of Castiel's throat, then put his hands on the angel's cheek, and found himself again speaking without quite having decided to do so. "Can I see your wings?" "What?" Dean's voice was shaky and cracked, and it embarrassed him. But Castiel sounded absolutely demolished, and it had not occurred to Dean, because Castiel was so firm and so reserved, because it felt so good to put himself in someone else's hands and trust that he would not drop Dean, that this was affecting Castiel as deeply as it was him. Christ, that just made Dean want it more. He was in no state to be holding any sort of conversation, but he found the words and lined them up and forced them out of his mouth. "Your wings," he said. "Can you show? Please?" He could feel this getting raw, veering off course. "Let me see you, Cass. I just..." And Castiel shook and closed his eyes and pressed his cheek against Dean's palm, which for a moment Dean interpreted as a no. Then the room filled up with a familiar actinic brilliance, eye-watering, lightning-like flashes of it, and Dean saw them for a second time. The great ragged shadows of Castiel's wings, spread and trembling against the ceiling, feathers striping down the walls like the bars of a cage. The first time, Dean had been terrified. He had walked into some shit that was unimaginably bigger than himself, bigger than he knew how to shield Sam from, and this was his proof. And the shit was, in fact, bigger than Dean could have possibly guessed, and here it was, fucking Dean roughly on an unpaid-for motel room bed. Castiel was vast and inscrutable, and every once in a while Dean made him laugh, and when he leant down to kiss Dean again, folding him up because his elbows were still hooked through Dean's knees, Dean threaded both hands into Castiel's hair and kissed him back for all he was worth. He was still terrified, but he was ready now. Castiel bit Dean's lip when he came, another accident, Dean thought, and dug the fingers of the hand he wasn't using to support himself injuriously hard into Dean's ass. He went limp on top of Dean for a short while, a few heartbeats, and Dean was just beginning to think about broaching the subject of putting his legs down when Castiel slid out of him and off of him, backed down the bed until he could get his mouth on Dean's cock again. This time it was nothing but good. Even when Castiel sucked him harder than Dean thought a human being could, even when he dragged his teeth up the entire length of Dean's cock and then bit him, with great care, on the glands, Dean wanted it all. Especially if it meant coming like this, like being pulled inside out with a ragged edge of pain because it really was too soon and, God, so good. There was cum on Castiel's chin and the corner of his mouth when he climbed back up Dean's body, and Dean grinned, eyes half closed, and wiped it away with his thumb. Castiel licked his hand clean. He was expecting Castiel to kiss him, but all he did was turn Dean onto his side and stretch out against his back with a sigh, then pull the blanket around both of them. Good. Actually getting under the covers was more work than Dean was prepared to contemplate. Castiel's hand was on his stomach, on the bruise his fist had left there, and Dean knew with a certainty that they had about 30 seconds to talk, and then he was going to be out like a light. "There's a blowjob in it for you if you're here in the morning," he hazarded, and Castiel snorted again into his shoulder. "Dean," he said, like it was an endearment, "you don't have to bargain with me." Dean would have laughed if he had been able to breathe. "I..." he began, and stopped. Behind him, Castiel propped himself up on his elbow and looked down at Dean. His free hand came up, made Dean meet his eyes, and Dean felt himself opening up again. There was no way he would stay awake through it, or for that matter survive it, but if Castiel had proposed round three just then, Dean would have tried. "You going to be here when I wake up?" he managed. Dean felt like he had been wrung out and then laid gently out to dry. He felt scoured clean, strangely radiant, new. And Castiel was still touching him. They were done, and Castiel was still here. He settled down again, pressed his face against the back of Dean's neck. "Of course,"